During the early days of the space race, only governments had deep enough pockets to send humans into orbit. Now, commercial ventures are poised to pick up where the shuttle program leaves off. And what will that do to our image of space? Our film critic Bob Mondello knows, because Hollywood has already boldly gone where no company has gone before.
When I was a kid, years before the first space shuttle went into orbit, I knew what outer space was going to be like. I'd seen it at the movies. It was just like Earth, only weightless. In 2001, A Space Odyssey, to get to a space station, characters flew Pan Am. If you're under 30, ask your parents. And once they'd arrived there, apart from curved walls and floors, everything was familiar. You could check into a Hilton, chow down at Howard Johnson's, even check up on the youngsters back home by calling them from a Bell Telephone picture phone booth.
Hello! How are you, Squirt? What are you doing?
Phone booths in the sky seemed less likely by the time NASA had flown the first real shuttle mission in 1981. By then, Silent Running had shown us a future in which corporate spaceships were essentially lifeboats from a planet so wrecked the Earth's few remaining plants had to be shepherded to safety in outer space. American Airlines space freighters took them there in geodesic domes in hopes that they would someday be able to return.
Until that day, may God bless these gods.
Great plan, except that after a while, the airline wanted its freighters back.
We have just received orders to abandon and nuclear destruct all the forests and return our ships to commercial service.
A company putting profit first? How could that be? Actually, greedy space corporations became a Hollywood staple. In the Alien movies, the Weyland-Yutani Corporation really wants one of those diabolical aliens and doesn't want to hear about consequences.
We sat down there on company orders to get this thing, which destroyed my crew and your expensive ship.
Thank you, Officer Ripley. That will be all.
Please, you're not listening to me.
In space, no one can hear you sacrificing humanity for profit. About that same moment, and remember this is still before NASA had put a shuttle into orbit, James Bond was tracking down a hijacked space shuttle and discovering that the guy who'd had it hijacked was the industrialist who'd made it, the evil head of the Drax Corporation.
That's where the Moonraker shuttle is made?
That's right.
I'd heard that Hugo Drax is obsessed with the conquest of space. Now I can believe it.
As a rule, if you like the notion of privatizing outer space, you probably want to steer clear of the multiplex, where starships run by federations and republics tend to be good. Corporate starships, not so much. The by and large megacorp in Wall-E, for instance, evacuating Earth because it had turned the planet into a trash heap.
Too much garbage in your face? There's plenty of space out in space. B&L Starliners leaving each day. We'll clean up the mess while you're away.
Then there was Lunar Industries in the film Moon, economizing while reaping huge profits.
Gertie, have you heard anything new about anyone fixing Lunar Sat?
No, Sam. What I understand is it's fairly low on the company's priority list right now.
And, of course, the RDA Mining Corporation in Avatar, trying to get its hands on a precious resource by military means.
Back on Earth, these guys were army dogs, marines, fighting for freedom. But out here, they just hired guns. Taking the money, working for the company.
There's more, but who needs to zoom into outer space to know the profit motive can lead to greed? It was, after all, the not-for-profit status of NASA's shuttle that's kept it above the fray since its maiden voyage. And in retirement? Well, Hollywood's not even giving it a chance to cool its jets. In the film Another Earth, opening in just 2 weeks, a fictional shuttle will be owned not by NASA, but by a space tourism company. Seems pretty benign. Guess we'll see. I'm Bob Mondello.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.